الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولان العظيم. Yesterday we finished off with that instance of Imam Abdul Qadir Jailani rahmatullah alayh, but I think in between I used the name of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh as well, so there is a little confusion. This instant Hazrat Maulana Salim Taurat Damat Barakatum has quoted it, and he has mentioned for the students especially, and it is, as we noticed, it is for all of us. He said that today there isn't mashakkat, hardship left. Today such conditions hardly really exist, but there is mehnat, hard work left for students to work hard. But to go through this kind of mujahada that you don't even get food to eat, etc., he mentioned this incident, that how the ulama of the past, when they studied, what big sacrifices they made. Also we had mentioned about the pious of before used to discuss at the end of Ramadan that who is a mahroom, a person who is deprived. Then we explained a little bit that some people mistakenly use the word marhoom. For instead of saying marhoom for a person who has passed away, they say mahroom so and so, which has a very bad meaning. Marhoom, that Allah's mercy be upon the person. And mahroom, may he be deprived of the mercies of Allah Ta'ala. And then, most probably we did explain, but somebody perhaps slipped up, or we slipped up, that the pious of the past used to say, a mahroom person, a person who is deprived in the month of Ramadan, one is the hadith also of the three people that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam gave the dua of Ameen on the baddua of Jibreel Ali Salam. That a person who finds the month of Ramadan, but his maghfirat does not take place, he is not forgiven. Because there are so much of Allah's mercies that really a person should acquire the mercy, the forgiveness of Allah. But however, the pious people used to say, those people who don't carry on with the ibadat of Ramadan after Ramadan, that is a mahroom person, a person who has been deprived. And of course, this does not mean to the same extent as it was carrying on in Ramadan. For example, in Ramadan, we are particular, we make our five times namaz. But once Eid day comes, we don't make namaz. That the person who has been deprived of this. In Ramadan, we increase our tilawat of Quran Sharif. It must not happen that after Ramadan, we don't read at all. In fact, one Egyptian sheikh gave somebody some very good advice. That person asked him for some advice. He told him, will you give me some advice? He said, yes. And he said that if you don't read Quran Sharif for one day, the Quran will leave you for 1 week. And if you don't read Quran Sharif for 1 week, the Quran Sharif will leave you for 1 month. And if you don't read Quran Sharif for 1 month, the Quran Sharif will leave you for 1 year. And if you don't read Quran Sharif for 1 year, the Quran Sharif will leave you forever. So this is a very important thing that we should try and keep up tilawat. Of course, not to the quantity and extent that we do in Ramzan, if somebody can, mashallah, what to say. But otherwise, we shouldn't, many of us, we don't touch the Quran Sharif. Also, on that point, Maulana Zubair just read about Quran Sharif, and as I explained the other day, that Allah has made it very easy that the Quran Sharif, especially for the Hafiz of Quran, is meant to be read during the night and practiced during the day. But Allah made it so easy that today's explanation of the hadith, we read that a person just reads 10 ayats, he won't be written amongst the negligent. And if we just read Alif Lam Mim Tal Muflihun, we read Ayatul Kursi, Amin Al Rasul, 10 ayats are done. And if we read the Quls, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Al Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Al Nas, more than 10 ayats are done. And in the same hadith explanation, a person who reads 100th ayat at night, he will be written amongst the obedient. So if we read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Waqiyah, Surah Tabarak Alladhi, we'll have read more than 100 ayat. And that we should do regularly every day. Read it after Maghrib is the best way. So if we are in the night, and you will be written amongst the obedient. If you read it during Laylatul Qadr, on Friday night, Juma night, you read the night between Thursday and Friday, how great won't the rewards be? So deen is not difficult. Ad-deenu yusrun. And deen has also left the scope open for every person. Those who can, who want to hit it the high, they can reach till there also. And the other ordinary people can do the easy also. And they also can be written amongst the favorites and close servants of Allah Ta'ala. From another point of view also, there are those people who are free for deen, who are retired, for example. They haven't got anything to do, they can do much more. There are other people who have to earn their rosy, they have to work the whole day. The deen has been made easy even for these people. With all the hard work of the day, earning their rosy from 8 in the morning till 6 at night, and together with that, they can also reach Allah Ta'ala quite easily. And those people who are free, they can reach you much more, they can do much more. So Allah has made it very practical. Deen is new, easy also, ad-deenu yusrun. And also deen is practical also. If for every person, for the housewife also it is practical, and for the husband, for everyone, deen is practical. So we shouldn't let our nafs play with us and make excuses that the whole night, we just took that one hadith, where I'm going to stay the whole night awake and read Quran Sharif. No, we look at the whole of deen, and that is also what is required. Don't just look at part of deen. Many people make lot of errors because we just look at part of deen. To explain this point, ulama give a beautiful example that the elephant is not found in Arab lands. It's found in jungles of Africa, Asia, etc. So somebody took an elephant to the Arab lands to show them like a circus what an elephant looks like. Few blind people also went and see. Now, when they heard the news that the elephant is coming, they also went and see. But they are blind, what are they going to see? So anyway, when they went, they touched the elephant to get an idea, because Allah activates the other senses. If Allah has weakened or taken away one sense of eyesight, Allah activates and makes stronger another sense. Perhaps memory, Allah makes it very strong. Or smell, Allah makes it very strong. So they went and they touched the elephant. So whoever touched which part of the elephant, he gave that as a description of the elephant. Somebody who touched the top, the flat part of the elephant, he said an elephant is like a table top. The person who touched the legs, he said an elephant is like columns. A person who touched the trunk, he said the elephant is like a hose pipe. Everyone, whatever he touched, he gave that. So many of us, we also got our interpretations of deen. And that is not correct. You must have the whole picture of deen. Then you will get. So deen, where on the one side you can reach great heights with deen. And what heights you can reach, where farishtas can't reach, angels cannot reach, we can reach there. On the other hand, you're a very busy person, you can also manage your deen. If you can't make all solat, nafil namaz, etc., your faraz, etc., you can manage it. And when traveling also, you can manage. Deen is so practical that at home also you can manage your five times namaz, and while traveling also. So that incident was about Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jailani, rahmatullah alayh, and also that we must carry on with our amal after Ramadan. That is a very important aspect, and that is at least the basics of deen must carry on. Our five times namaz must carry on, tilawat of Quran Sharif must carry on, and we can see how each one of us, and just with a little bit of effort, a person, and mashallah, there are many such brothers who have learned Surah Tabarak Alladhi off in their senior ages. They have learned Surah Tabarak Alladhi. They have learned Alif Lam Mim Sajda. They have learned Surah Waqiyah, Yasin Sharif, etc. Surah Kahf also some brothers have learned. So if we have learned it, it is so easy. While walking home, we can be reading it. So if we feel we haven't got time, while walking we can read it, and while driving home we can read it, and this will also help us tremendously with regard to safeguarding our tongue, which hopefully we will speak on today. From a few days we are supposed to come on to this subject, and if we just stop unnecessary talk with others, assalamu alaikum, how are you, that is sufficient. But more than that, we get into conversations always, as somebody has said very nicely, in a very nice way, that don't join the PPC. What is the PPC? The Pavement Panchayat Club. That after namaz, when we go out, then people make their groups. And the only condition that applies there to join that club, the PPC club, the Pavement Panchayat Club, is that you have to have agarbatti, smoking. So there you go, you take out your cigarettes, you start smoking, and then you start discussing everyone and everything and the whole day. Especially in Ramzan we find that, yeah, alhamdulillah, we have got a program. All masjids have got programs. Otherwise, kitab reading takes place. Many people feel that I have to go read Quran Sharif. I have to get up for Sehri. I haven't got time. But he sits with a friend of his in the car, standing outside for half an hour. Kitab reading was 10 minutes, 5 minutes. That we haven't got time. But to waste our time for half an hour, that we got time. So we should look after our time. That is also one subject, hopefully, just remind me inshallah, that how valuable time is generally, then how valuable time is on a Jummah for a Muslim, how valuable time is during the month of Ramadan, how valuable the night time is in Ramadan, how valuable the last 10 days are, and how valuable Laylatul Qadr is. All these things, what great value they have got, Shabi Barat, etc., the ibadat of that night, all these things, they are not opportunities to be missed. And so easy, there again, for the ordinary person, make your Isha with Jamaat, Fajr with Jamaat, you got the whole night's ibadat. So, what is difficult to find Laylatul Qadr? Even if it revolves around the year, to make Isha with Jamaat and Fajr with Jamaat, whenever it is, you have found Laylatul Qadr. And then what to say of those people who devote more time, who make the Hajj, who make Nafil Namaz, who make Ibadat, etc. So all these things, they are easy for the ordinary person, the person who outwardly doesn't look close to Deen. And it is very practical for the person who is fully, so to say, in deen also. May Allah be pleased with us all. And in this, never look down upon any person. Many people who look like ordinary people, who are in business, etc., but their position is very high. Yeah, just quote this one incident, from where we can get lot of inspiration and learn lot of lessons also. Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiyallahu ta'ala an, rahmatullah alayh, very, very pious muhaddith, great mujahid. 6 months of the year he should teach hadith. 6 months he should go in the path of Allah in jihad. So anyway, and his ibadat was famous, he was known. What a great scholar, what a pious person he was. When he passed away, somebody saw him in the dream, and they asked him that, how did it fare? What Allah thought? He said, Allah has given me plenty. And what stages and what ni'mat Allah has given me. After explaining a little bit, he said, but my neighbor, Allah has given him even a more higher stage. And the neighbor was a blacksmith, a person who worked hard for his living, using his big iron hammer and knocking onto iron, heating it in the fire, and then molding it to the various shapes that are required. He was a person who worked very hard. So everyone was very surprised. An ordinary person like this, that seems outwardly not what deen, just basically his namazes, faras namazes, etc., but such a high position. So they went to his wife and they asked her that, your husband, what kind of a man was he that he's got a position more higher than Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi also. When she said, he was an ordinary person, just the basics of deen he used to do, he carry on his life just normally, and there are plenty like that in the world. But by Allah, we only Allah knows what their position is. But one thing he used to say commonly, that my neighbor Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, is a very pious person, loved by everyone. People present him with gifts all the time. They see to all his needs, so he doesn't have to earn his living. He's free to do his ibadah. He doesn't have to earn his living. If I was also free like that, I should also have made ibadat like that. This niyat of his, Allah gave him that position. So if a person just makes that niyat, this is a whole subject again of its own. And great buzurgs, they have reached buzurgi, high position, just on niyat. Maulana Qamar al-Zama sahab, rahmatullah, adamat barakatum, says, for example, that when a person is young, he can make lot of ibadat. He's got health, he's got... And don't waste our youth. Hey, we think we will do when we are get old, but don't. Wherever we are, whatever station of life we are, as much as we can do as much as we can. And from another aspect, Allah opens more on a person who actually wants to do and who starts doing. Allah gives him more tawfiq. And a person who is lazy, that also. Or there were those two people who were known to be very famous for their laziness. Very, very lazy people. So they were lying on the side of the road, and one was very, very hungry, and a berry that had fallen from the tree was right next to him. So a person going on a horse, like in our time in a car, he told that person, please, why won't you put this berry in my mouth? So lazy, he's hungry, and the berry is stopping the person who is traveling on a horse in our time, a car, that please, you come put this berry in my mouth. He says, why don't you do it yourself? He says, I just can't. I can't manage to do it. He says, your friend who is next to you, tell him to do it. Are you stopping me and I must come and do it? He is even more lazier than me. The dog was urinating in his mouth. He didn't even close his mouth. Such a lazy person that the dog urinating in his mouth, he didn't close his mouth also. So if we have that attitude, then Allah doesn't give tawfiq also. And if we just lie around doing nothing, lazy, and we just don't want to do anything, a little bit also, what little a person, that also is there. But when a person, how much he can do, he does, Allah opens more doors for that person. And that person gets tawfiq of more. And that is not only in our practical effort, even in at-tahiyyatu lillah is our verbal praises of Allah, they belong only lillahi ta'ala. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat, our actions which we do, namaz, fasting, hajj, are all actions we do it only for. Wat-tayyibat, and our monetary, our money that we spend for Allah ta'ala. And just see in return, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted Allah ta'ala in this way, that all our ibadat is only for you. Whether it is our verbal ibadah, whether it is the ibadah of our actions, or whether it is the ibadah of our monetary money, etc. So Allah Ta'ala said, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, As-salamu alayka, for the first, for verbal ibadah, peace be upon him. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, wa rahmatullah, and the mercy of Allah for your actions that you do. For Allah only, then Allah will send His mercies upon you. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And for your monetary money which you spend for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, Allah's barakat. So Allah will give you much more. And Allah will give you a much more bigger heart also to spend. And that is where you will go more further. So if you can't spend 1,000 rand, you can spend 100. You can't spend 100, you can spend 10. You can't spend 10 rand, you can spend 1 rand. But don't make it an excuse that because I'm a working class person, I can't donate to the masjid, etc. If you feel that if I give 1 rand, and the receipt is more expensive than a rand, I will be a liability to the jamaat, to the masjid I want to give. I'm giving 1 rand and the receipt costs 2 rand. They've got a box there. Just drop your 1 rand in the box. Nobody sees also. And we don't know the small amounts also. In fact, Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullah alayhi, says, every person must have some such ibadah, even if it is very minute and very small in value also, but solely for Allah Ta'ala. That will help a person tremendously on the day of Qiyamah. Because sincerity will help a person a great amount. Any way, before we just carry on diverting, for the benefit of the brothers who are not here from the beginning, what we discussed in Ramadan this year was first that we must about our namaz. And four aspects of our namaz we must try and attend to very urgently. And the first is that we must get five times namaz in our lives. That is very, very important, and make the firm niyat from the barakat of the month of Ramadan that our whole lives, that we are going to bring five times namaz into our lives. That is one. Then look at our qaza-e umri. This is very important. And if we have got namazes which we haven't made, if we don't know when we became baligh, we should take it from the age of Islamic 15, which is 14 and a half. For safety's sake, take it a little earlier. And then see that those days I was at high school, I should hardly make namaz. There was no environment. Everyone's case is different. Some people used to make, mashallah. And then perhaps I went to university, I went to college, I started working, and we were just unmindful of namaz. There was no namaz in our environment, no namaz in our lives. Then count up 5 years, perhaps 6 years. When I got married, perhaps I was still not making. Afterwards I started. Then you realize that I went in Jamaat, for example. Somebody encouraged me, and from more or less this age, I started becoming like, so calculate and make those qaza namazes. They are very important. We had little lengthy discussions. We can't go into repeat those lengthy discussions again, but very important. Then third aspect of namaz, try and correct our outward form of namaz. Try and at least make the outward form correct. Don't just make our namazes the habit that we had from childhood and we are carrying on. Most of us, perhaps we had learned namaz with our mothers. Mother was making namaz. We joined her also. And that habit remains the whole lifetime. And a female's namaz is different from a male's namaz. So we still got those habits. For example, our legs, for women, they keep them apart and keep them broad. Many of us still got that. We don't keep our legs with four fingers spaced in between. And that not only in front and at the back, but the whole, your legs must face towards Qibla, properly towards Qibla, not this way, east and west. Basic things still, many of us, our namaz we don't pay attention to. And if our namaz is not correct, it must not happen that our namaz gets thrown back at our face. At least the outward we can correct. Then further on, the concentration in namaz. That we all know how weak we are in concentration in namaz. Then we have to work towards devotion, that we devote ourselves totally to namaz. Then we discussed about making tawbah and istighfar. That is very, very important, which is a thing on a daily basis. Generally, if a person committed a particular guna, make sure we make proper tawbah from that guna. At that time we did it, alhamdulillah, make salatu tawbah also, give some sadaqah also. But now we make tawbah of all our, then just in a general form, of all our sins. We ask for forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala, major and minor sins. And we don't always have to go into the detail, intentionally, unintentionally, just all our sins. And major and minor, and those sins which are with regard to the rights of Allah Ta'ala, which is in ibadat, etc. And also those sins which are in the right of fellow people. Many of us we have done wrong to fellow people, and many of us we are still doing wrong to fellow people. For example, we don't treat the wife correctly, or our visitors, or money matters with people, or we had arguments, we spoke rudely, we accused people falsely, etc. All those things, all that we have to ask for forgiveness of, that we have to correct that. So this is also a whole, not only a subject, not only an encyclopedia, it is a lifelong mission. So we should always be, and Allah loves those people who make a lot of tawbah and istighfar. Then we discuss the value of the month of Ramadan and the value of the Quran Sharif. And yeah, Allah gave us a combination. The month of Ramadan is extremely valuable. The Quran Sharif is extremely valuable. It isn't the cherry on the top. It is cherry on cherry, cream on cream. It is just what Allah has laid out, the spiritual dastarkhan, where there are no starters, where there are no, what you call it, the savouries. Everything is a special meal. It's like sometimes you don't know, like in the aeroplane, you think they came with starters. And then you see now they come with the main meal, but you are full already. You thought that was the main meal, what they gave as starters. Many times when we have da'wat also, the samosas are so tasty, not nice to talk of this now at this time, the mouth starts watering also. Or the pies are so tasty, sometimes the soup is so tasty, and you just want to have that. But when you see the next dish is even more better. There's the dishes of Ramadan, spiritual dishes. One is better than the other. And you don't know which one is more superior. And they are just spread out in front of us. Keeping Rosa one. Rosa is so great. Then dua is referred, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah, when in your dua, if you want to find the closeness of Allah Ta'ala, just turn to dua properly. Then Allah says that when you ask of me, I am close to you. I'm so close to you, more closer than your jugular vein. And Allah with all, Allahu Akbar, all the beauty what is in the world, and what beauty isn't there in the world. Beauty, like for example, sunrise, sunset. Beauty, the sunrise over the mountains, the sun setting, oh, so to, it looks like in the sea. Now, the different in valleys, etc. How beautiful all this is. An artist draws that picture of sunrise or sunset, and he's got a few swallows pictures also. I'm not discussing from the masala point of view, that is haram, drawing pictures of animate objects, etc. But he's got all that. And he's got the river flowing there. And the way he has made the artist his work, like it's a real river flowing. And the trees that are growing, etc. So beautiful. You are prepared to pay 200,000 rand for that canvas which stretches in your bedroom from the wall in front of you, from the top to the bottom, from this side to that side. And it's so beautiful. But all he did was in a very, very deficient way. He just copied Allah Ta'ala's nature. And what he has copied in a very deficient way. We might admire it all the time. But an artist himself, the person in every field, he himself knows his flaws the most. Other people might praise him, but he knows how flawed my subject was, whatever, in whichever field it might be. And we pay, and what he has done is static, is dead. It's just that one picture. And the sun rise in the morning, every split second, Allah is changing the picture. And Allah's picture is not from one wall to the other wall of your bedroom. It is on the whole huge wide horizon. And it isn't for you who can afford 200, 300,000 rand and buy that canvas. It is for every person in the world. And the big screen Allah has put it on. And every moment it is changing, the clouds, the formation is changing, the clouds are moving, and that beauty, and that is real. And Allah is that He hasn't done it one morning in the world. One morning or one evening, every morning, and sometimes what beautiful scenes they are. What is the qudrat of Allah? So that is the beauty of Allah. Take any Allahu Akbar, a butterfly. It's impossible, you can't explain the beauty. Flowers, different types of flowers, the wonderful fragrance in flowers. All this, the beauty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All when we think of beauty, is some woman. But all this beauty of Allah ta'ala, and this woman also, who made them? And their beauty is also temporary. While she's 18, 20, she's got now, she's married, two children, now it's no more like that. When she got married, she had a figure like a Coca-Cola bottle. When she has got her 3-4 children, now her figure is like a 20 liter oil drum. Now you must forget all that. And Allah's beauty, kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. Every split second, Allah is in a different beauty. And there is no old age for Allah. No wrinkles for Allah. Know that Allah, na'uzubillah, it's even not nice to speak this, that the stroke and the face has changed. Allah's beauty. So what isn't the beauty of Allah? So with all this in Ramadan, Allah gives us some idea of that beauty. And in dua, when you are that close to Allah Ta'ala, and if Allah gives tawfiq on the odd nights, 27th night, and one sign that we have received, 27th Laylatul Qadr we have received, is that the heart melts. And you can feel that closeness with Allah. How fortunate are those. But for all this, an effort is required. So we discuss that, what Allah is giving in this month of Ramadan. Just a little bit about time also, so that we can appreciate the value of time. We explained it with various things. Many can just turn our minds a little back with that money-making machine. They're much more valuable than that is this month of Ramadan. That what Allah is given. Also, that example which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi gives, that orchard that you go into and the fruit that you can take, and the different sections of that orchard. This is that orchard Allah has given us. The first ashara, the second ashara, the last ashara. Our life Allah has given us, our childhood, our youth, our middle age, and then our old age, etc. So all take the fruits of this world. That is why, وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget to take your share for akhirat from dunya. Don't just pass through the dunya and you went in your qabr empty-handed. Or that example of that group of people walking in the jungle. They found, they were lost, middle of the night, and they found shining things. Some took a few, some took more. When they came out in the village, they told them those are the most precious diamonds in the world. The person who took 50 is also kicking himself. I could have taken more. So this, we are going through this world to take the precious diamonds which Allah has sent with His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in this month of Ramadan. And this is the time to pick up as much as we can. It isn't a time for gossiping. It isn't a time for cell phones. It isn't a time to waste our to just while our time away. Whatever, we just want to take a little rest, just keep sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the tongue. What great value it has got. Just keep astaghfirullah on the tongue. Just keep subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Little bit, while we walking to the toilet, don't go empty handed. Read little bit something. Just this little bit, it will bring us great returns. And also one more aspect of the value of this, so that we can value time generally, and this valuable time, we can value it. There is the instance of this person whom Allah had given kashf, and he saw the person in his qabr who was making tilawat or namaz, and he asked him for how long. For so many years he's making. He admired, he was astonished that he's making so much ibadah. He said, I'm prepared to give you all this years of ibadah. 5,000 years, 10,000. You give me in return one subhanallah. Because there, those who ask for it and Allah grants it, Allah will grant them to make tilawat in their qabr and they will enjoy it. And may Allah let us enjoy tilawat here. May Allah let us enjoy du'as here. May Allah let us enjoy namaz here. Those who got the taste, this is what they asked Allah Ta'ala. Our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that if Allah gives me a hifz class in the qabr, then there I will teach my hifz how they enjoy teaching. Not like us, we try and come late to the class, we try and leave early, with excuses we go to the toilet, we spend half an hour in the toilet making wuzu, etc. But these people, they gave extra time. And they didn't waste one second of their time, how they spent, how they enjoyed the ibadat of Allah. But all that ibadat, people even make dua there. And they make dua for the living also. And those du'as are accepted by Allah also. But no sawab for that. And yeah, one subhanallah. A person engaged in du'a in the qabr for 5,000 years. Is engaged in namaz. Engaged in making bayan. Engaged, a person loves to make gush. And call people to the path of Allah. And all that. They are granted this in the qabr also. But no sawab for it. And yeah, this is the hardly 2 minutes time we have got. And yeah, the value of one subhanallah we can't imagine. And how it is enhanced in the month of Ramadan. And how it is enhanced for the youth. The ibadat of the youth is so valuable to Allah Ta'ala. So in the youth, a person who makes this ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, and then in the month of Ramadan, and then during the nights of Ramadan, we have our desserts or whatever little bit at night after the program, no problem with that, but don't sit and waste time there. Hadrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that if you want to make nashta, in Urdu nashta does not necessarily mean breakfast, just a snack. Some visitors came, chalo nashta kar lete hai. That is in 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Doesn't mean you're going to have breakfast now 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Just little bit snack you're going to have. So he says, no problem in making nashta. But this nashta, with such a long mud which doesn't exist in Tajweed also. This long wasting time. So little bit tea or little bit some savouries or something, little bit, no problem. But wasting our time there, talking and whiling our time away. Instead of that, really, our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to tell one good friend of ours, we are studying together, for you to sleep in Ramzan is better. Because as long as you are awake, you're just making guna all the time. So your sleeping is... So instead of talking there, if you want to, rather come and sleep. But not all this talking, and not on the cell phone. Not this messaging all the time in there. Avoid that. Better than that is to... Of course, better than sleep is Allah give tawfiq. Read quarter supara, read half a supara, one supara, whatever Allah gives tawfiq. Make istighfar, make dua, etc. How valuable is one second? How long does it take to say one subhanallah? And that person is prepared to give his thousands of years of ibadat for your one subhanallah, your one alhamdulillah. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, with all his entourage and his aeroplane of that, what the aeroplane, what is a jumbo jet compared to what Allah had given to him? But he says, your one subhanallah, that person who said subhanallah, that is more superior than all what Allah had given to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So anyway, together with we spoke about the value of Ramzan, the value of Quran Sharif, of duas, of all the things. Then Allah Ta'ala made it where Allah gave us this environment here. If we are on our own at home, we know very quickly, it's late now, let me go and sleep. But here you see somebody else making ibadat, you also want to make some ibadat. Or you think, there the people are awake and they are making ibadat, how can I go and sleep? In fact, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is famous about him. Somebody asked him, how did you get the tawfiq to stay awake the whole night and may night and may? He said, I heard some people speaking and they say Imam Abu Hanifa stays awake the whole night. So when they got that good opinion of me, I said that I must stay awake then. So this encouragement. Wherever we can reach, we know we are all weak. We can't. All that is for inspiration, not for despondency. That we can't do anything. No, don't. Don't be like the two lazy people. At least do something for ourselves. A little bit, Allah will give more barakat also. So the value of this month, so we should try and appreciate it as much as possible. And this month will only come again after 11 months. And we don't know if we are going to live for the next one. For this month, whatever the last few moments that I live. Once I got the, when I was with by our sheikh in Karachi, somebody asked how is your time passing? I asked, what is there to ask how time is passing when you with your sheikh? I said, 1 second is so valuable. And a whole life is not sufficient. If the whole year, that is what is the meaning of the hadith, if my ummah knew what Ramadan is, they will want the whole year to be Ramadan. Which proves, everyone, we can check ourselves, how much do we want the whole year to be Ramadan? That is to the extent that we haven't still understood, or we have understood Ramadan. If we really want it to be the whole year, then what you call it, that means we understood the value of this month. It is to make our true earnings for eternal akhirat. In fact, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, what an analyst also he was of the mizaj and nature of man. Many people say, I wish they don't see the moon. When they show the moon is going to be sighted. They say, I wish they don't, we can get one more day. So if he says that, he says also as a precaution, it won't happen. Otherwise people will get a heart attack. But if it could happen, and Allah informs Jibreel alayhi salam, go and tell the people, I see they really loved their Ramadan this year. How they enjoyed it. So I'm extending it for another 10 days. And then see how the faces fall down. And the moods go down. Just now they said, one day more we want. But now Allah said, not one day. I see you so keen and so eager. 10 more days for you. Then see how the moods of the people go. So Allah give us the true sincerity that we have it. And this all depends how much we have understood Ramadan. And that is why we're having these programs. Try. Otherwise on our own we make little tilawat, we think we have done a lot. Little bit we do and we think. When we see, yeah, and that is why also we ask Maulana Musa to take a record of how much the brothers have recited Quran Sharif. And there are some brothers who are making khatam every day. This is all for our inspiration. And generally, alhamdulillah, most of the brothers are doing fair amount, which is required, the basics. But there are some brothers who are reading day and night, and they are making khatam every day. May Allah inspire us also, wherever we can reach. So this month, then we explained about this roza, fasting, that to make roza is not feasting. Many of us, we have made Ramadan a month of feasting. And we see also our women folk especially, and they blame the man. We say the woman getting their white meat and their fillets from 2 months before Ramadan, 3 months. They say the man want their samosas, they want their pies, so we have to get the white meat before time. And this always happens where there is a wedding in a family. You explain the man, because we as men are more in contact with the man. They say, we also want it, but this woman don't listen. And when you speak to the woman, they say, we can't manage it, we don't want it. But this man are insisting on it. So always this happens here, like that. So all excuses, Allah knows all what excuses. The munafiqeen used to make lot of excuses. Allah says, we know what, it's just all excuses. May Allah grant us sincerity, whether it's a little bit we do, but with sincerity. Instead of showing it that we also want to do so much, but it is all just empty. There is nothing, no reality in it. May Allah bless us with sincerity. So anyway, rozas, then we explained that the basics of rozas are the farais of rozas, which we all know, and which alhamdulillah, generally the ummah is keeping, lot of people. But together with that, to make it a perfect and to make it a valuable roza, like for example also, you have a car to sell, and you'll get so much for your car, 80,000, 200,000, but you say, if I just soup it up a little bit, then I'll spend 20,000, but I'll get 50,000 more for it. So Ramzan also, just soup up our rozas. Just make them more valuable. They are there. And just do that little bit extra and see how much more Allah will give. So one we had explained was roza of the eyes that we have to keep. Not to look at other strange women also. And today it's right in the masjid with our cell phones, we must be careful. Don't look up at people of dunya. And never ever, may Allah save us, and this also is becoming common. Not only with our youth, we like to blame them only, but even with our grown-ups, that we are beginning to idol worship sports heroes, etc. Film stars, etc. Hey, these people here, they are such people who will go for a cup final to any part of the world. They will stay awake that the cup final due to time difference, 2 o'clock, not even cup final. The matches reaching up to the cup final. They stay awake 2 o'clock in the morning. One brother just explained to me, it was so arbitrary, inspiration again for us also. They went to Madinatul Munawwara. This businessman, very wealthy, mashallah, Allah has given him. He went with one alim. And he went there to distribute money, lilla money and other money, zakat also, to the people. They went to Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib. That alim said, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, we'll go to Haji Sahib. He said, 2 in the morning? He said, Haji Sahib will be awake. They went Abad, he was awake. And 2 o'clock in the morning, they started distributing. Now, a person like me, or most of us, we can't think of it. But see these people, whether it's middle of the night or whatever, they make time so valuable. Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, till his health was with him, when there was an ijtima, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, he's taking a walk around the cooking section, taking a walk by the toilets, and see if everything is in order. The qualities of the Khulafa Rashidin, Allah, our buzurgs of this time also, may Allah give us one bit. We, our little sleep goes this way or that way. Little bit our program. So there were those buzurgs also who stuck to their program very, they adhered to it very, they wouldn't let it go a little this way or that way. Different types, temperaments they are in, and mizaj they are in, and mizaj of the buzurgs also. So everyone according to his mizaj, but let us take inspiration. And let us not, one main thing which I try for myself, for my friends also, that this thought mustn't come that I am biased. Which Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali summed up very beautifully. Nek banna faraz hai. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. To become pious, muttaqi banna faraz hai. Apne aap ko muttaqi samajna haram hai. Unfortunately, this also comes to lot of our satis. We hardly really do anything, and already they comparing themselves with big buzurgs. And they think that we also at that stage at that. And really we haven't got the reality of anything. So it's just this acknowledgement that I'm a nothing. How beautifully Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali used to say, do the work of Mr. Everybody and be a Mr. Nobody. Do the work of Mr. Everybody, try and do everyone's work, but you yourself be a nobody. And Haji Bhai himself, Rahmatullah Ali, Nizamuddin toilets of those days, middle of the night himself he used to be cleaning the toilets. These are the qualities of the people. And we will complain, we won't clean the toilet. I notice also, even in masjids, not only our masjid, everywhere, something is lying, nobody, it appears, gets the tawfiq to pick up that paper. And when you go past and then you come back to pick it, everyone wants to pick it up. But nobody will pick it up in the first instance. So this, we want everything ready, we want everything clean, etc. But we are not prepared to do anything. So all this is important. Anyway then, with regard to the tongue, which is a whole subject also, just one aspect, and if Allah wishes, we will carry on. The tongue is a great amanat of Allah. It's a great ni'mat of Allah, but we don't appreciate it. Think of ourselves, forget today our whole life, how lot don't we speak? If we make shukr to Allah, He gave us a tongue to speak. Or the tongue, He has put our taste buds on the tongue. Otherwise we won't enjoy our biryani, we won't enjoy our samosas, we won't enjoy our milkshake if they weren't the taste buds. And the tongue has got so many other functions also. But Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ali says, "Jismuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir." The tongue is small, a few grams it weighs, a few square centimeters it is. But the sin of it is very, very great. A person uses the tongue little bit wrongly. Just the tone is not right. You are saying the right thing. You are saying it at the right time to the right person in the right environment. But your tone is not right. Your volume is too high. Or you got that sarcasm in your voice. You are cynical about it. And this happens so much. And then when somebody say, but I only told him this. But you don't say, well, how you said it. How you make that person feel at that time. And all this is recorded by Allah Ta'ala. As we usually gave this example, you gone in a supermarket for no reason whatsoever, you picked up something and put it in your pocket. As you are leaving, sir, won't you just come to the room, we would like to speak to you. Or madam, whoever it might be, that you stole an item. You deny it, but then they show you the whole, they show it to you on the video. You were caught on CCTV, now you can't deny it. Like that Allah is every word of ours. And what intention from inside which the farishtas don't know, Allah knows. And it is recorded and it is going to be played out on the day of Qiyamah. Illa man tab, but those people who make tawbah. May Allah grant us this. We got no way without making tawbah. Otherwise, this nafs of ours is such an enemy of ours. He makes you say that, yeah, in bayan, he makes you say something, but he makes you say also with the wrong intention. He makes you say it also in a way that to try and hurt somebody. Whatever, you have to be very, very careful. It's not just that a bayan, a person is a very big pious person. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq, but don't take wrong meaning and don't take the wrong wrong advantage of it also. Many brothers, when they make bayan, good people also learn it. We fold our hands. And Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib used to say, this is not permitted. You can only fold your hands in front of Allah Ta'ala. This is a posture of extreme, extreme respect, which should not be shown. But now don't we go in, somebody is making a bayan, some alim, and we go in, tell him, no, put your hands down. We don't have, some of us go to that extreme. One time Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah made a bayan for the ulama. And many times it's announced in the Tablighi Ijtimaas that only ulama must come. One person who thinks himself, who thought himself to be an alim, must be present also. Many times we are not alims, but we have to be right in front also. So he also heard the talk. He went back to his town and he started lashing out at the ulama, what Mufti Sahib said. What Mufti Sahib said, Mufti Sahib, Mufti Zain, all the ulama, sir, ankope. We accept it wholeheartedly. But this ordinary person, now he wants to say those words again. So it caused a big fitna. And he's quoting Mufti Sahib said this. But are you Mufti Sahib? Have you got that authority which Mufti Sahib? Who says it makes a world of difference? The same word what you say. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to give da'wat of Islam to his father Abu Talib. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, you don't give, you're a small child. But a big person will give the same da'wat, it will have a different effect. And you as a child will give that da'wat. So it's not for everyone. So therefore, we have to be very careful. Anyway, the tongue is a great amanat, is a great ni'mat. It can take us to the heights of Jannah, one word from the tongue. And it can take us to the depths of Jahannam and let us keep on falling into Jannah. May Allah save us. So make our roza, a roza, inni nadartu li rahmani sawman. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّا. In the ummahs of before, there was a roza of no speaking also. That I won't speak to anyone. That kind of roza also. Our roza, Allah made it very easy. If we were told to keep a roza of 1 minute, no speaking, how many of us we should break our roza? And how much kafara we should have to give for that roza? If we were told that you can't, not allowed to speak, we just can't keep away. First an argument, husband and wife, they are just facing opposite sides, but tell everyone wants to have the last word. Tell you, it just burns you all the time. I have to say the last word. With your friend, you're arguing. You finish the argument, it's over. But now again, it will come. And I must go and tell him this, and you come back again. And you start it all over. So the tongue is a thing that also we have to learn to control. May Allah give us tawfiq to do all this and keep our rozas how they are supposed to be kept. May Allah give us tawfiq.